This podcast is sponsored by Koolaboola, creators of websites, animation, and digital art. To get a 10% discount, go to koolaboola.com and put in the discount code SPEAKING. Welcome to the Speaking Podcast. You can find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com. We're also on BitChute and YouTube as Speaking Podcast. I also have the Awakening Podcast, Meditation Podcast, the Learn Polish Podcast, and the recent Crypto Podcast, and all can be found on whycall.com. Today, my guest, please welcome Kyle Sullivan.
Hey, Roy, what's going on? Super excited to be on the show, man. It's going to be a fun conversation.
Yeah, looking forward to it, especially with a fellow podcaster. I always enjoy talking to fellow podcasters. So I always like to let the audience know, who's Kyle?
Yeah, absolutely. So first and foremost, what I love most is I get to be a husband for 8 years now to my wife, Ginger. I get to be a father to two under two right now at the time of this recording. So we got Miss Piper Grace, our little girl, will be two in October. Mr. Bo Grant will be 6 weeks, 7 weeks. Oh, today, 7 weeks today. You know, it's that newborn life. So it's like, oh, how old is he? So yeah, we're in a super fun stage. Professionally, I run a coaching company called Unleash the Champ, which is the podcast I run. It's also Unleash the Champ Leadership Podcast. We coach culture. Culture is made up of what you teach, tell, and tolerate. And we align those things for maximum impact. Before that, I was a pastor for 11 years in non-denominational churches and got to be a part of a lot of really, really cool stuff. And, you know, before that, college and growing up and things like that.
Excellent. So I suppose, first of all, are you getting any sleep?
You know, Roy, we're really blessed because, like, he'll sleep about 4 or 5 hours, which for parents of newborns, that's, like, unheard of. So are we getting as much as we'd like? No. But are we getting sleep? We are.
That's brilliant. So I definitely like to go into the pastor route, but I'd like to know your journey kind of into speaking, you know, from a young age.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think if my dad was on your show, he would say that I started speaking very early. I wanted to be heard. And so I think that just it just grew. I remember seeing my composition book from first grade, and I got a lot of marks on my conduct because I talked a lot. And so, you know, it's funny, what I got in trouble for as a kid is now the thing that I do most. And it's just funny how that works. But got into speaking, you know, being on stage, being a pastor, being in front of people, you know, as small as 10 people, as large as 6,000, and being able to just kind of be thrown in there. I remember the first time I was on stage in front of people with a mic and the lights and everything. It was about 500 people, and I had no clue what I was doing. I was just like, oh, this is more people than I thought. And I remember having all this anxiety 11 years from now, you know, 11 years later, it's one of the things I love to do.
It's amazing, actually, that's how much we panic, and then we get to a stage where it doesn't faze us. I mean, I'll always get a bit of jitters, but, you know, if you go back, and I mean, even for me at one stage, if it was three people in a room, I'd buckle, like. But it's amazing how you can just evolve, and you kind of think, how was I that bad? Or how was I so nervous? But yeah, practice makes perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think just repetition is the price of knowledge and experience. And you know, you gotta be willing to not be good to be great.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, very good. So when you were a pastor, were you moving around as a pastor, and was it different age groups, or were you just in one parish or what?
Yeah, so how the church was set up is I was at one church, and the church that I was a part of, we had multiple locations, but I was at one central spot. And so one, I was there for about a year, another about 4 years, another about two and a half, all in the same church, just different locations, as we would call it. And did everything from youth, you know, middle school, high school students, all the way up to adults by the end of it. And so spoke everything from 11 years old to 81 years old.
So I know that's kind of keeping the younger ones, you know, engaged and not kind of fixed to their telephones or just talking to their friends. How did you actually make them to kind of stay focused?
I could go a lot of different ways with this, Roy. I think the biggest thing was keep it simple and effective. So, you know, I would come up with analogies or use analogies. One was, you know, I told them, you know, keep in mind, this is all 11 to 17 year olds. And I said, all right, guys, tonight, you know, we're going to talk about how I want you to kiss. All eyes on you. And I was like, yeah, you, in your life, you just need to keep it simple, stupid. And they're just like, oh my gosh, you know. And so I think it's important, especially the younger kids are, you got to hook them quick. And you got to, like, hold on, what did he just say? And I'm very, especially when I was a youth pastor, I was very interactive. And so I would just, I'd make a point and like, oh, hey, Roy, you down with that? Or, hey, does that make sense, Daniel? Or, and so they always knew, like, he may just like, and I did it too, because those kids that were like on their phones or talking to their friends, they'd be like, dang, how did he see us? Like, well, I'm on stage about 3 feet above. I can see the whole room. I can see when you're talking. And so I think having a good hook in the beginning, being interactive, lovingly calling them out. And I had the opportunity to be able to build equity with them. And so what I did off stage allowed me to be heard on stage.
Very important. Yeah, I love that. I love that. What would it be each kind of a session? About 45 minutes or how long?
Oh, no. With students, it would be anywhere from like 20, 25 minutes. And it got to be where, you know, with adults, go 40 minutes to an hour.
So how did you prepare yourself when it was an hour? Like, did you have kind of notes at the side or what was your structure?
So early on, I was like a manuscript person. So I wrote out, because I had a mentor that was very structured, very detailed, and he's like, you need to write out every word you're going to say, every pause, every, you know, speed up of, you know, your inflection and where you're going to move and all this. I was like, holy crap. Like, it might've been why I was like a little nervous at first. Cause I'm like, Jesus, if I miss one word, the whole thing's, you know, gone to hell in a handbasket. Anyway. So I was a big manuscripter, write out every word, my breath, my pauses, my transitions, all of it. Now I'm more, I write out the beginning, like story or hook, and I'll write out the end, the close, and I'll write out points for the middle. Because I can go, okay, I know where I want to go with this, but I also leave room for the squirrel to pop. And we may chase a squirrel, but we're going to get back there. It just may be a couple minute detour.
Yeah, that's the way I do speeches as well. I kind of know exactly what I'm saying at the start. I have my bullet points. I know exactly what my conclusion will be. And yeah, as you say, if there's a detour or something, distraction, you can adjust, you know, because you're not memorizing it the whole way through.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I will go over a speech. You know, I used to, gosh, my wife would get such a kick out of it. I would be practicing all the time throughout the week. One, because I was trying to memorize a speech. But now I'll go over it, you know, 5-6 times and try to say it different kind of ways. And, you know, at this point, it becomes way more natural than it used to.
And is it online that you're doing? I mean, you don't do that anymore. You're not pastoring anymore, right?
Nope. So all the speaking that I've done now is virtual. There's things starting to open back up in the States that I can get to, which I'm excited for. But yeah, it was July of 2020. Stepped away from the pastorate and started this thing on my own. So it's super fun.
And it kind of, it happened at the crazy time. So that was, I assume, had you made up your mind prior to the, you know, the...
No, so Roy, I joke that unofficially Unleash the Champ was born October 5th, 2019 at 12:47 a.m. is when I held my daughter for the first time. And your listeners can't hear it, but I got proof that I'm the number one dad by Piper Gray Sullivan. So I got that up on my bookshelf, but I wanted to give her presence of time, not just presence of things. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. But with the pandemic and everybody being shut down and all at home and all of this stuff, I truly believe that with disruption allows for reflection. And so I started thinking, like, what could I do? What would I want to do? How does it have to look like this? I was just, you know, and now people are saying 4.4 million people have resigned from their job in the last 18 months. They're calling it the Great Resignation. Because people are going, I think I could do something different, because we've seen how quickly our lives can change. And so that for me was going, okay, I'm just going to go for this thing. I'm 51% sure that it'll work. That's all I need. I just need to be right over the tipping point. And, you know, people have asked me, Kyle, would you ever go back to working, you know, for a ministry, for a church, whatever? No, I could, but right now this is my assignment.
So, like, so it's basically coaching people online is what you're kind of doing. So you might tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So two verticals. One is the personal coaching. So it'd be in a format much like this, me and you working together one-on-one. The pillars of Unleash the Champ, your calling, your heart, your altitude, your mindset, and your performance. So we're making sure those things are in alignment for maximum impact, influence, and ultimately income. On the professional side, I'll work with organizations and take their mission, vision, and values and make sure that it's not just something that's in the handbooks, but it's on the hearts of their people. And so being able to go in and offer that fresh eyes assessment, being able to work with the leadership team and really drive culture, again, because culture is what you teach, tell, and tolerate. And so being able to align those things. So it's two verticals. I work one-on-one with people, but I also work with companies and organizations to go in. And I have a handful of leadership development assessments that I'll walk teams through and everything like that. So two pretty distinct verticals, but both are super fun.
And like, I'm assuming you had a lot of this kind of ready for meeting people, being, you know, instead of in the virtual world. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a ton. And it was like, okay, you know, we can go meet in person. But really it's because of the pandemic, Zoom meetings, Google Meets, things like that have become normal. So people aren't as turned off by them as maybe they would have been 2 years ago.
I'm after finding, because I mean, a lot of the time, I mean, you're a podcaster yourself, that, you know, you'd meet people on the podcast and you can connect, you know, before, like, you would think you'd have to sit down with somebody, you know, you'd have your chit chat for an hour or so, and then afterwards might go for lunch or just, you know, another couple of hours. But you do, you can connect within an hour, half an hour, you can connect with somebody and you can actually build that relationship. And sometimes you just follow on. But, you know, a lot of people, if you told me that a couple of years ago, there's no way I would have believed that that could be possible.
Oh, it was same. I used to be that person that's like, I want to sit down over a cup of coffee or, you know, whatever, and we'll just talk and talk and talk. And I think the pandemic has sped up the world because, one, though we don't mind being on a virtual stage like this, we don't want to sit here for very long. And so, and I think, again, because we've realized how fast the world can change, we are more passionate about connecting, collaborating, celebrating one another much faster than, you know, maybe we would have been a couple of years ago.
And I think you'd kind of appreciate things more as well, you know, when you're outside or when you're doing something, now you value it, whereas before you just kind of took things for granted.
Oh, yes and amen. We took a lot for granted.
So if you're taking somebody through the process, because, you know, you mentioned the exercise, you might just kind of go down one angle of one of them, because, you know, some people are interested in this kind of thing, but they don't know, you know, what it entails. But to go into kind of a bit of, like, the exercise one and everything, because I know that, you know, you need it all, a kind, it's a combination of a few things to make it, you know, that you're in flow, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, so one of the certifications I do that's really, really great to start off is with Myers-Briggs. It's just a personality profiler, but it makes it where you test out your preferences, extroversion, introversion. Are you more intuitive? Are you more see the world through your senses? Are you more logical in thinking, or are you more heart and feeling? And then how you see the world, are you more black and white? Are you more abstract? Those four kind of quadrants really make it to where it starts that development awareness, because oftentimes the pitfall of a leader is to take and go, okay, I'm like this, so everybody else should be. That was me. When I first got into leading people, there was a trail of bodies behind me because I was like, well, just do it like I do. It'll be great. Like, this is awesome. And so that's one thing that I take and go, okay, we're not only going to identify the differences that you have compared to those closest to you, but we're also going to take it to where we respect those differences and can see, okay, hey, you're really good here. I'm really good here. Here's how we can collaborate. It really starts to create some synergy among you as an individual and those that are closest to you.
You know, when things are opening up now, will you be traveling or will you try to stay in the state that you're in, especially with the two young kids? Like,
oh no, get me on a plane. we're pretty lucky to where we are because we got great support system, great family. But Roy, I want to travel. I got a little travel bug. My wife's more of a homebody, so being able to get out and travel, you know, even a day trip, you know, whatever, a couple days, if it's longer, I'm excited to be able to, you know, take her with me. But yes, I am ready to travel more.
And so, like, the podcasting, so, you know, we discussed it prior to recording, but, and so I know you've 22 episodes. So why did you start to get into that, and when did it begin?
So it started, I was in a conversation in February of this year. And so it was cool because I was writing a book and it was such a process for me. It was so hard. I could sit down and have the best intention and just be hitting a wall. And so I was in a conversation with a group of folks and they were like, well, have you ever thought about podcasting, Kyle? And I was like, no, like, I like listening to podcasts, but no, I couldn't do that. And so talking with them, and they said, you could do podcasting because your voice can elicit what more emotion, connection, things like that. So I put the book on the back burner, and the quote was, hey, allow your voice to build the platform for people to buy your book. And so got into it, and really it was off of a challenge. They were like, okay, how quick can you do it? I was like, I don't know, 4 weeks. And so in 4 weeks, launched the podcast and just started. My trailer, I recorded with my AirPods on my phone. So to listeners out there that may be going like, man, I don't have all the equipment first and all this, that's fine. You don't need it. Just get going. And I feel like with every episode, I'm getting more and more comfortable with it, more and more. Yeah. I should have known how much I would enjoy podcasting because I like to talk. It's like what we talked about in the beginning, but it's been really fun. 22 episodes in. We started end of March, so we're about 5 months in at this point. And from everybody like yourself and others that have been doing it for a while, said, hey, you know, you made it this far. It's a big deal. So we celebrate that.
Exactly. And I know that because I've listened to some of your shows that, you know, you do the solo as well as having a guest. And I know that I tried to, because I've got a few, and sometimes I'd want to do the solo with some of the information that I've got, especially for the Awakening, but I just find it so hard. But you're able to chat away as if no problem. I just found it strange. I don't know how you, it's obviously okay for you.
Oh, it's okay, but it is definitely much harder because we, as communicators, we like the feedback. And so being able to just talk into a mic and go, well, I hope that landed. That's so new for speakers and things. And so I get it done, but my podcast manager will tell you it's way more of a struggle for me to get my solo episodes in by the deadline than my interviews done, because interviews are way more fun.
Yeah. Now the interview, for me, the interviews, I enjoy the interviews, but it's the editing, because, you know, I do it myself because I make the notes and, you know, I just take out any kind of pause fillers or whatever. But I'm finding that I'm kind of procrastinating a lot now with the editing, whereas, you know, I've even done 5 at one stage in one day, you know, and I love it. Like, I know you get energy from it. It's amazing. And you mentioned, I think I have the thing here, because one time I went to do a podcast with my ex-wife, we do the Polish one, and I had all my mic and everything set up, and I was actually going to do it in her place at this time. And I left my bag at home, and I had this mic, and I'd done it. And to be honest with you, you wouldn't know the difference. You know, it was like, plugged it into my phone, my iPhone, done the record. And I said, look, instead of not doing it, because I didn't want to miss, you know, a week, because, you know, people get used to you putting out the episodes, and I'm not that consistent. I need a slap on the wrist for this one, for the speaking podcast. I'm not as consistent as I should be, but I know that with the Polish one, every Monday, every Wednesday, and it makes a huge difference, because, and the ones I listen to are the ones that I know, okay, this guy's putting up one, you know, I listen to Blind Boy every Wednesday morning, it's there. And, you know, shame on me for actually not being consistent with the others, but sometimes, you know, life gets in the way.
Yeah. You have to go and check it out. I missed my deadline, and my podcast manager held me to be accountable. So I got a podcast episode called What to Do When You Take an L. And it was about me missing a week of my podcast. And I just was like, here's what I learned, and here's how we're going to move forward. All right. Because I got texts, and I got a few texts from friends that were like, hey, man, where's the podcast? I'm like, yep, I missed that. So I love that.
Because I actually, with the speaking podcast, I don't know how long I took off. I done the first year and kind of said, I'll take a bit of a break. Don't ever do that. And now I've got months of recordings. Months. I have 3 months of recordings that are going on, because you just don't know. Because sometimes I go away for a month and I don't want to let people alone. So I still want to get them out there. And, you know, because people, especially when they like it, you know, they want to, they expect it. And, you know, you get the feedback as well. So it's nice to.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what kind of training are you doing yourself at the moment? Are you able to do training?
So I'm not doing as much speaking training, but I'm doing walking through some NLP training, because I just find it fascinating. Also was doing some studying on facial recognition, facial clues. Because I just, again, I'm in the stage where I'm like, what interests me, and how our face can say so much about our past and what we've gone through. So those are two things I'm particularly learning right now.
Brilliant. Listen, it's been totally enjoyable, really enjoyed it. And I wish you the best of luck with your future and enjoy the time with your two babies, because it's a wonderful time. You know, they'll like my youngest, he's 7 and now he still wants a cuddle. And I know there's a time comes when they don't want the cuddle. So, you know, embrace it when they're young, because it grow. My eldest now, she's 21 and she's in Dubai teaching. So, you know, it goes fast. I can guarantee it. It's a blink of an eye and it just goes.
That's what every parent says. And I can feel that already with seeing the comparison of my daughter, who's almost 2, and my son, like, man, that happened quick. So I will definitely covet that and get all the snuggles I can right now.
Exactly. So how can people get in contact with you?
Yeah. So the most active platform I'm on is Instagram. And so at Kyle J. Sullivan, you just send me a DM. Just put speaker in the tag, and I know it came from here, and because I'm most active on there, maybe your listeners are too. Would love to have a conversation, because as speakers, we love to tell and hear stories.
Oh, brilliant. And I'll make sure, because I have all the links anyway, so I'll make sure I put them in the podcast description. So Kyle, thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Rory.
That's all for the Speaking Podcast. You'll find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com, or on BitChute and YouTube, a Speaking Podcast. Be sure to give us a thumbs up, 5-star rating. It all helps. Until next week, take care.
This podcast is sponsored by Koolaboola, creators of websites, animation, and digital art. To get a 10% discount, go to koolaboola.com and put in the discount code SPEAKING.